you have to take big risks. But I knew, like, if I wanted to make it work, at some point you have to make a big risk and you have to just put everything into the sport to see if you can make it work.
That was Gwen Jorgensen, and this is Marnie Salop. Thanks for tuning into my podcast, Marnie on the Move. Each week, I will be inviting interesting, innovative movers and shakers to join me on the show and share their story. You will discover and hear from thought leaders, experts, influencers, and entrepreneurs from the worlds of wellness, sports, beauty, fitness, fashion, and more. Marnie on the Move will feature an eclectic mix of people I know, work with, and think are generally doing cool things. On each episode, I sync up with my guests about life, career, and training, and showcase their expertise and story. On August 20th, 2016, on the hot, sunny beaches of Copacabana in Rio, Brazil, one woman changed the course of sports history, setting a new record in the sport of triathlon and becoming the first American athlete to win the gold medal for triathlon at the Rio Olympics. Her name? Gwen Jorgensen. Today, I sync up with Gwen and talk to her about her most recent gold medal, her son, Stanley Lemieux, born August 16th, 2017, and her next gold medal goal, the marathon, at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Gwen is officially shifting her focus, running full steam ahead into marathon. Gwen and I discuss getting back to training after having a baby, her foray into triathlon and her athletic roots, her training philosophy and winning mindset, the Rio Olympics 2016, and her running goals for Tokyo 2020. I know you've been asked this question so many times, but I feel like I have to ask. How did it feel to win the gold medal in the Rio Olympics and to be the first American to win?
It was incredible. It was amazing. It's funny. I actually haven't been asked that question in a while since I've had Stanley, because he's just like, he's my new gold medal. So it's funny to think back on it. Winning that was just, for me, it was a big thank you for everyone who had invested in me. You know, my coach every single day there, my husband who gave up his career to support me, my family, sponsors, all these people that believed me and backed me. When I won the gold, I just felt like, oh, this is their thank you. Like, I want to share this with them. Thank you for helping me get there. I mean, it was incredible. And, you know, even when I think about it to this day, I smile. So it's pretty amazing to have that sort of performance on a one-day event that you train for 4 years, and to be able to be the first U.S. woman to win it and, you know, kind of bring triathlon, I guess, you know, back home to its birthplace was pretty amazing.
And now you're going to do that for running.
That's the goal. So yeah, I mean, I have a huge mountain in front of me to climb, but I know that I have, again, a great support team behind me, and I'm willing to put in the work, and I'm excited to see what happens.
You were able to train into your second trimester. That's great. How did you recently get back into training so quickly?
Yeah. You know, I felt like I didn't get back to training that quickly. I had a really, I'd say, a fairly manageable pregnancy, and I was able to train throughout it, and I got slower as it went on, but I, you know, was able to train throughout it, which I was feeling pretty fortunate about. And I thought, oh, I'm going to just have this baby and, you know, 10 days later, be able to go and work out. And 10 days later, I was still struggling to walk to the bathroom.
So when did you start, after you had Stanley, when did you start training or working out again?
Yeah, it was quite a bit. I'd actually have to look at my training, but I know I took 8 weeks off of running completely. But, you know, I was bleeding for a while. I couldn't walk. So I had Stanley, and I actually had some of my sutures fell out. And a week later, I had to go back in and go under and have surgery. And again, so it was, it was just like 2 weeks of, I could barely walk to the bathroom, was in so much pain. I actually felt like a horrible mother, because I just, I felt so bad. I really couldn't do much with Stanley besides just feed him. And Pat was super dad during that time. And I'm really grateful for that. But I remember, you know, maybe around 3 weeks post baby, I started to do some walking, and put him in the stroller. And it's just, yeah, I just started slowly with some walking. And then, I feel like I'm finally making some progress right now, and I'm, you know, we're 4 months out. So I feel like I'm finally starting to progress and be able to run a little bit more. So I'm just listening to my body, and, you know, I'm getting a lot of questions like, when are you going to run, or what race are you going to do? And I'm just not going to make any of those choices yet, because I want my body to really heal completely. I don't want to rush it. And I know if I put like a race on the calendar, I know myself, and I know I'll get all excited and I'll overdo it and won't be listening to my body. So I think it's really important for all females post baby to listen to their bodies and, you know, just take caution. I mean, and everyone's different. I know some people that ran, you know, 7 days after they had a baby and they were fine. But for me, I had a good pregnancy and a rough birth. So it was just a little bit longer to come back.
It's true. Everybody is different. Were you always that way? Or is it just like after having a baby that you were finally like, you know what, I'm going to listen to my body?
I think, you know, just as a professional athlete, you have to learn to listen to your body. And especially if you want to stay injury free, you learn your body too. You learn it really well. And you know, like, oh boy, I can feel a niggle coming out. Is this a bad thing where I need to, you know, be cautious, or can I push through it? And, you know, I'm someone who I get treatment like massage, physio, that type of thing almost every other day, and it costs a fortune, but I feel like it's so important to take care of my body. And you know, some people maybe don't do that, or you know, you might not have time for that or the finances for that, but for me, I feel like it's such a good investment into my body. And yeah.
What kind of massage do you do? Do you do myofascial massage, or do you just do like, are there different kinds that you do?
Yeah, normally just deep tissue. You know, also I get dry needling done. I do Cairo. So I do a bunch of different things to keep my body healthy.
I saw your video on Instagram saying hello marathon, and I'm feeling the same way. You know, I'm feeling like I love triathlon, but I'm up for a new challenge. And so, you know, what kind of prompted you, in addition to your bucket list, which I saw, how long have you been thinking about switching to marathon, or maybe you just doing a marathon as opposed to triathlon?
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about it for quite some time. I'd say I first discussed it with Patrick, my husband, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now. And, you know, I actually contacted a bunch of running coaches before the Olympics, like a year before, like so 2 or 3 years ago now, just to kind of see, like, did they think I could maybe switch to running if I wanted to? And I just, for me, you know, triathlon, it picked me. USA Triathlon, they came to me, they said, we think you'd be a good triathlete, you should do this. And I like doing triathlon, but for me, I feel like my biggest passion has always been running on a swim bike run. And I have learned so much from triathlon that I think I can carry over, hopefully, into running that I've learned. And I'm just excited to, yeah, try something new and try what I'm really passionate about.
Running isn't really a new sport for you. You were All-American in track and field and cross-country in college.
Yep.
Being an athlete seems very natural for you. I mean, you started swimming at 8, continued swimming all through college, and also excelled in the sport of running.
It's funny, growing up, like, I loved swimming, and I could have actually, as a freshman in college, I could have gotten a scholarship for running, but I decided I wanted to swim instead in college. And my poor parents, I can't believe they didn't make me take a scholarship. But, you know, thankfully they let me choose what I was passionate about. And at the time it was swimming. So I just walked on to University of Wisconsin-Madison's D1 swimming team. And after 3 years, I had felt like I kind of reached my potential in swimming. And I had a high school track coach who said, oh, you should, you know, run for their team. And I just laughed at him. I'm like, there's no way you can just join after, you know, I haven't run for like 3 or 4 years. But yeah, I did a time trial and they let me on the team. And I then, you know, became All-American in cross country and track and field in my last few years at university.
Once you're an athlete, it seems like switching sports can be organic. Of course, there's a learning curve from a technical standpoint, possibly a short learning curve, but as a triathlete, you have the running fundamentals in place, so it seems only natural that you could switch gears and start running.
Yes, exactly. I do have some of that running background, which is nice, and hopefully it'll be, you know, I have some of the mental capabilities as well that I've learned from triathlon that will carry over, but yeah, there definitely will be a learning curve.
That's what I was wondering is, you know, you spent so many years training for triathlon. I'm sure there is so much value in that that you can take to the next sport. What do you feel is going to be, like, what's the biggest takeaway from triathlon that you can bring to running and training for a marathon and winning the gold in 2020 Tokyo?
Yeah, I mean, there's not one thing. You know, for me, I feel like this really good formula in triathlon, and I knew how to make it work. And to step away from that has been a really big, big risk. But I do feel like there's things I carry over, and I've learned so much from triathlon, and especially from my coach, who was Jamie Turner. He just taught me a lot about mental things. You know, everything I do in my sport now, I view it as an investment in my sport instead of a sacrifice. You know, I feel like every day I get up and I'm working hard, and I'm, you know, if I have to miss going out to a movie or I have to miss a wedding because I'm at a training camp, like I view all those things as investments that are going to help me improve. And just that mental switch, I think that's something that's easily carried over from triathlon to running.
I love that philosophy that you have about it's not a sacrifice, it's an investment. I really like that, really is a game changer, especially when talking to family or friends or work or any, I mean, this is your job, but at the same time, it's like everything. I feel like probably when you started, right, and you were just doing it for fun, you know, your friends would be like, oh, you know, why can't you come out drinking with us or do this?
Yep.
And you're like, well, you know, I have to get up at 5 a.m. and like run 500 miles. Not 500 miles, but, you know,
exactly.
So I feel like I love that sort of mental rephrasing of sacrifice to investment when it comes to training.
Yes, me too. And I also just love the word investment because I am a CPA accountant. I used
right.
to be. And so I just love that word. And it just resonates with me as well.
It seems like based on, you know, the fact that you started at 8 and you pursued your athletic career through college, and it seemed like that was your passion. And then you wanted to get a job.
Yeah. Right out of college, I knew that I didn't have any sponsors, and I just knew that I couldn't support myself. And I didn't want to be doing triathlon as a pro athlete and not be able to support myself. So for me, I remember my parents, relatives, they're like, you know, we'll help you out. And I was just so stubborn. I'm like, no, if I'm going to do this, I want to be able to support myself. But, you know, I think I worked full-time at Ernst & Young for a while and then part-time. And, you know, when I finally took a leave of absence, that's when I really realized you have to take big risks, because at the time I wasn't making a lot of money, but I knew like if I wanted to make it work, at some point you have to make a big risk and you have to just put everything into the sport to see if you can make it work.
Are you still going to swim and cycle as you're training for marathon, or do you feel like you have to kind of let that go?
Yeah, eventually I feel like I have to let it go. Right now I am not able to run as much as I'd like, just recovering from having baby Stanley. But I do feel like to be a world-class marathoner, I have to put in the miles, and I'm going to be have to running, you know, 120 miles a week. And if I'm doing that, I'm just going to be way too tired and, you know, just won't have enough time either to do the swimming and biking supplementation with, you know, doing that many running mileage. There's going to be added just a lot of prehab and taking care of the body, because it can really take a big toll on your body to run that much. So yeah, I feel like I'm just going to have to be focusing on that thing, that stuff.
I know you aren't focused specifically on time, but I did read somewhere that you are going to have to shave 20 minutes off your run time from the 2 hours and 41 minutes you ran in the New York City Marathon.
For me, coming from the triathlon world, I never focus on times. It's more about places and it's more about process-based things. But, you know, I know that to accomplish the goals I want to accomplish in marathoning and running, I'm going to need to be capable of running at least 20 minutes faster, at least at the very minimum, of my time that I did in New York. And that's not to say that I ever will run that fast, but I'll have to be capable of running that fast, because every marathon is so different. And you may, in order to, you know, come across the line first, you may not have to run that fast, but you need to be an athlete of that caliber to win. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. Do you feel like you're going to have to do a lot more speed work as well?
Oh, yes. I think it's going to be totally different. Like in triathlon, I was running 50 to 70 kilometers a week, which is, you know, it's like 30 to 50 miles a week max. I'm going to have to be doing 120 miles. And my long run in triathlon was an hour 30. And my long runs are going to be, you know, now closer to 3 hours. And the only like speed sessions we did in triathlon, like I feel like the shortest repeats I kind of did was 1Ks at race pace. And I'm just going to have to really hone in on I'm going to have to be a complete runner. I'm going to need to work on the speed. I'm going to need to work on the endurance. And because I won't be doing hard swims and hard bikes, I'll be able to do a few more hard runs every week as well. So I'll be trying to tap into those things, but I haven't done speed work probably since my college years. So hopefully that'll come back. I don't know though. I'm getting pretty old. But
that sounds so exciting. I've done a bunch of triathlons and I decided to focus on running for a few months. And I've been kind of yelled at by different coaches. I'm like, I want to be a triathlete, but I also want to run. And they're like, well, they're two different sports. And I'm like, well, yes, but you still, I'm like, why can't I just do speed work? And, you know, they're like, no, zone two. So when you were training for triathlons, was your coach focused on heart rate training or was there a philosophy? Was it just on feel or?
Yeah. So Jamie did he structured our workouts going into races around the race. So if we had a hilly race coming up, we'd work on hills. And, you know, I always wore like a heart rate monitor. I have like a Polar heart rate monitor that I'd wear. And then on the bike, I'd use an SRM for power meter. And those sorts of things were always recording. And then I would always upload them into a Training Peaks. And then my coach would always analyze them, but I never looked at them. So like during the workout, it was more about just effort and, you know, getting mentally in the right place and pushing through even when you weren't feeling good and not really worrying about the numbers per se. And that's when my coach would analyze it and see, am I recovering well? Am I hitting the numbers he wants me to hit? But during the workouts, we definitely didn't focus on that.
That's so interesting. Just because a lot of athletes sit and look at their heart rate the entire time they're training. You know, and then I have a lot of friends that just go by feel. And I feel like at a certain point, the heart rate, it's like takes away energy from just feeling yourself in the race.
I agree. And it's interesting though, too, because, you know, we did like sometimes our coach would even have us tape up our watch so we couldn't look at it at all and just go off feeling. But at the same time, we need to learn to not go off of feeling in the sense if you're tired, you can't go off feeling, but having that feeling of effort because, you know, sometimes you feel like crap, but you can still make yourself go hard. And I think that's another big thing I learned in triathlon was that feelings don't dictate outcomes and it doesn't matter how you're feeling, you can push through it harder. So, you know, I think if you're too focused on heart rate and things like that, it could be a detriment, but I think they're also very useful tools and they can tell you a lot about your body and how you're recovering and what you're doing, but you shouldn't be reliant on them as well, I would say.
When you are out there on the course racing and you feel tired or you start to feel like, you know, you're hitting a wall, like where do you go mentally? Like there has to be somewhere that you go mentally that takes you to that next level. And a lot of, you know, I'm just curious, like if you have a mantra or.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people do have mantras and it's funny you say like, that's what makes the difference. And my sister, I love her so much. And she is always just like, I could never be an athlete because I don't want to push that hard. I don't want to feel that hurt. It's just interesting how some people like I get a high almost off of feeling that burn and, you know, giving it my all. And that's, you know, what I basically am living for when I'm competing is, you know, that's what I want to feel is I want to feel that pain. But for me, a lot of people have mantras, but for me, I always try to go to something process-based or technique-based, and I tell myself that. So like when I'm running, for me, a lot of times if I'm fatiguing, I tense up and my shoulders come up. So for me, I just tell myself, relax your shoulders, let your arms come through. And I find that focusing on that technique, it distracts myself from the pain. And then I'm also working on good technique. So in theory, it should help me go faster as well.
I've heard that people have told me that about swimming because when I am not a good swimmer, I mean, I think I'm not a good swimmer. Like I get nervous in open water. And as soon as I get out there, I mean, as you know, in the pool, I can swim, you know, no problem, like 2 miles, 3 miles in one shot. But you put me in the water.
It's so different open water.
Yeah. And I start to get so nervous. And some people, like when they get nervous, they start swimming faster. I get nervous and I start to stay still.
Yes, you need to focus on that technique. But open water swimming has its own technique. And it's, you know, a lot of times it's about rating. And a lot of times it's just scary to be out in that open water and next to people, and people are touching you. And it's something that you really have to get used to. And that's a struggle for a lot of triathletes, myself included.
I think that's interesting because, I mean, obviously you're such a good swimmer. I mean, again, you go to that technique place and you just take your mind out of the other place and you go.
Yep.
And you win. Speaking of open water swimming, I want to know about the Island House try.
Oh,
that looks so cool.
Yes. I got to compete in it, you know, the past few years, and this year I was just commentating, but Mark Holowesko puts on this race. And it's sponsored through the Island House, which is a boutique hotel in Nassau. And it's just 10 to 15 males and females between long course, short course. And they get to go out and compete on this beautiful island in the Exumas down there. And it is just fabulous because you never know what to expect. You could be in the best shape of your life, but because the format is always different and you're competing against athletes you never compete against, it just makes it so fun because you never know who's going to win or what's going to happen. But yeah, this year they actually had a swim. There was like sharks right next to where they were swimming. I was like, oh, I'm kind of thankful. I guess I'm not getting in the water this year.
That's so incredible and so terrifying. It looks amazing. I watched all the videos. And I've gone to their website, and I think I read an article in USA Triathlon a couple years ago, but it looks so cool. Like, it's almost like an adventure race in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, and they're doing 3 races in 2 days this year, and it's just so much fatigue, and it's just in such a beautiful place. It's a lot of pain. They call it pain in paradise, and it really is. It's a lot of pain, and it really is paradise. So,
what's the hardest part?
Oh my gosh, definitely just the 3 stages of racing. Like, you wake up on that 3rd race you have to do, you feel like you can't walk, you're sore, you've already done 2 races, and you're like, how am I going to do this? And then you like show up to the race and everyone else is all happy because they're in paradise, and you're just like, are they not feeling what I'm feeling? Oh, it's just it's pretty hard.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I hope they open it up to other athletes at some point. Maybe they'll do a like an amateur. I read something like maybe it was
people
considering
would love
it.
That.
Yeah. I mean, people would, that kind of reminds me of swim run. Have you ever thought, I mean, so we're talking fun now, not pro racing. I mean, obviously you love swimming and you love running. So would you ever do a swim run?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, you know, for me, I just feel like right now, focusing on marathon won't be in my future. I have done some runs, some aquathons, I guess. And yeah, they're super fun. But, you know, I used to have such a huge passion for swimming. And right now, to be honest, that's my least favorite. It's hard. I'm like to dive in the cold water and it's not my favorite anymore.
That's so funny. I feel like every time I go to Chelsea Piers, I work out. It's like the best pool in New York, but it is so cold. And I wear like a spring suit to swim because I wanted to stop complaining about the water. I feel like an old lady complaining about the water.
Yeah.
So they're like,
yes.
You know, I'm like, can you just make it more like the jacuzzi and then we're good?
I feel the same way, but not many actual swimmers feel that way.
No, I think we're in the minority.
No,
yeah. I am in the minority. Like the whole pool is like all the triathletes, all the swimmers are like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Speaking of swimming, I saw that Roka advertisement that you did. That is so, that was so incredible. It looks like it was so much fun. I love the music and I love their wetsuits.
Yes, I do too. But they did an amazing job with that photo shoot, and they're always so professional too. I actually love doing photo shoots with them because they're quick, they have hair and makeup, they have great food. But yeah, and I actually did that photo shoot while I was pregnant with Stanley, and I remember I had to like go up a size in my wetsuit.
Oh my God, you had to put a wetsuit on while you were pregnant.
Yeah. It was so hot. And I'm like, oh, Stan. Well, I didn't know his name. I was like, baby, I hope you're okay in there. It was super fun though.
Oh my gosh. That's hysterical. So I will switch us from my obsession with triathlon, which I could sit and talk about for hours, back to running. So you are sponsored by ASICS, right?
Yes, that is correct.
So what is your favorite ASICS sneaker?
I just switched. I used to always run in the DS trainer, and now they came out with the Dynaflight. Gosh, I guess it's been almost a year now, but that's my new favorite shoe to train in is the Dynaflight.
Is that a low profile shoe? I'm not familiar with it. Or is it more of a support shoe?
Yeah, it's I'd say it's like medium. And then it has a lot of cushion and, you know, like a lot of like give back. Yeah. I really like it and enjoy it. It's enough stability, but also is light enough for me to train in.
How often do you switch out your sneakers?
Oh my gosh. So often. I just feel like it's something that as a professional athlete, I can't risk getting injured because my shoes are old, and ASICS gives me as many shoes as I want, thankfully. So I just don't risk that. So, you know, every month I'm getting new shoes from ASICS and wearing them, and have a lot of friends, not many actually. I have like two that are my same size, and they're always really happy because they always get my leftovers of probably barely used shoes.
Do you have a favorite recovery meal?
You know, for me, I feel like I'm just always, I don't have like one specific meal for when I'm trying to recover. I don't know, I guess, enough about nutrition, but I always am having red meat, rice, and, you know, a bunch of flavors. And Patrick is my husband. He does all the cooking. He just does a phenomenal job always. He makes, a lot of times it just like Mexican, but you know, with like a big rice bowl, a bunch of avocados, red meat, veggies. And that's the sort of thing I eat a lot, in the middle of the day that fueled for, my other workouts. Something I really learned in triathlon with fueling is I needed to front load my days and just eat a lot for breakfast and lunch, because when you're doing multiple workouts throughout the day, your body needs those calories. And I just found I was performing so much better in my workouts when I was eating a lot early in the day. And then my third workout wasn't suffering. So, yeah.
And then what about do you have a race day pre-race meal that you like?
Yeah. So, Patrick and I, we always travel with a rice cooker, and Pat cooks all the meals in the hotel room, which I think is
in the rice cooker.
Brilliant.
That's so brilliant.
Yeah. It saves you from, you know, a lot of times everyone goes to maybe there's one Italian restaurant or something, and then there's a long wait the night before and you're standing on your feet. And for me, I'm sitting in the hotel room with my feet up and Patrick tells me when it's ready and we eat. So normally the night before, Pat will cook in the rice cooker rice, and then on top he'll steam veggies and then get like a rotisserie chicken and usually put cheese and lemon for flavoring in it. And then race morning, we make oatmeal in there with berries and peanut butter. So yeah, that's normally what I have.
I might need to get some of his rice cooker recipes and some advice on how to use it, because
it's so versatile.
Yeah, we got a rice cooker, like, I don't know, a couple months ago, and we've been testing it out. So like, you know, things taste different. So I have oatmeal every day for breakfast, and that's kind of my race meal too before a triathlon. So we're trying to get it so that it doesn't take an hour to cook in the morning, because, you know, the more I can sleep before a race, the better.
Exactly. Yeah. We would always, like, for oatmeal at least, we'd soak it overnight, and then it not only cooked quicker, but it would, I found it was easier to digest because it's just been soaking for so long and it's more broken down.
Yeah, I think that's the move. I think we have to soak it overnight. That's a really good point. Yes, and I know that Patrick does a lot of the cooking. I know that you were testing out some recipes, so I thought I would ask about that.
Yeah.
So what do you like to do when you're not working out? And do you drink wine? Those are my two.
I like to say I drink wine, but Patrick would probably be like, oh, Gwen. So normally, like, he'll have a glass of wine and I'll have some sips of his. I rarely probably have a full glass of wine, but I do enjoy wine. I actually enjoy beer a little bit better.
Okay.
Especially in the summer, like just having something, it's just refreshing, but I never have, well, I shouldn't say never, but I rarely have more than one drink. So yeah. And then what do I do in my off time? That has changed completely this year with Stanley.
Pre-baby, what did you do in your off time?
Oh man, take naps.
Do you get a lot of sleep as an athlete?
Yeah. I mean, well, Stanley's been good, but I'm just like missing some naps. But like when I was training before pre-baby, you know, a lot of times Pat and I really enjoy food. And once a week we try to go out to eat to a new place and try something new. So that's kind of something I consider we would do. And then I'd read, watch Netflix and just take naps and keep my feet up. Like, you know, as an athlete, you can't really be doing too much. I really found that recovery is so vital. And when you're doing 3-4 workouts a day, you can't be on your feet in between those workouts if you want to execute on those workouts.
What are some of you read and you watch Netflix. Are you watching anything good right now?
We're watching Weeds right now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. So I'm trying to think of like some of the shows I've really enjoyed, like Scandal.
I love Scandal.
I've watched, you know, like Orange is the New Black, House of Cards. I feel like I've just watched all of them, all the series.
And any books, like do you have any favorite books that, you know, someone who's listening should read as an athlete?
I love autobiographies.
You do? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so, and you know, one book my coach had me read that was, I thought really interesting. It was Richie McCaw, who is an All Blacks player. So the New Zealand All Blacks, which I knew nothing about that sport or anything. And that was just interesting. He was the team captain of the rugby team and just his take on, he felt like at some points, like he had the weight of the nation on his shoulders and just how he was able to lead the team and stay humble. And I really liked that book. And another book I really liked was Rafael Nadal's book. Yeah, it's just called Rafa. That was a really good one. So yeah, I really like autobiographies.
And how was your move to Oregon? Like, how have you been? You guys just moved. It was like a few months ago.
Yeah. We moved here in December and we just stayed at some Airbnbs, but then we bought our first home in April and it's been amazing. I love the Pacific Northwest and Portland has Forest Park, which is the biggest North American city park, just with tons of hiking trails, running trails, and there's, you know, mountains and I love it here. Yeah. And it's good food. Yeah.
I haven't been, but I definitely, you know, I'm definitely looking to come visit. So
yes, you need to.
Do you have like a favorite run or a favorite swim and maybe a favorite bike that you might share? Maybe like meaning, you know, one of your favorite training workouts.
Yeah, sure. For swimming, we would do this race or this, we would do this workout, pre-race. So the day before a race, and I really enjoyed it. I always felt my best when I would do a hard workout the day before a race. So for swimming, it would be a 50 fast all out and then a 200 threshold, 250s faster than threshold, and then 2 100s at threshold. And we would do that 2 times 3 usually. And I just felt like it was short. It was quick, short and sweet, and got my body moving and ready for the race the next day. Then for running, my favorite workout was always 6 by a kilometer. I just feel like a 1K is a really good distance. It's probably one you can fake it in, which is probably why I liked it. Like, even if you weren't really fit, you could at least last a 1K and do good. That was my favorite running workout. And then for biking, we would do 4-minute hill repeats, which I really enjoyed doing those as well.
On the trainer, or you would do it outside?
Outside. So I
do ever
did
use
not ride the trainer very much. No.
Thank you so much for being on my podcast. This was so much fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning in today. And please don't forget to check out the show notes for anything that we mentioned in the episode. Also, please subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media. Instagram @MarnieSalop, Facebook, Marnie on the Move.